Welcome everyone to Talking Shop Down Under. This is your host Richard Banks, and for this particular episode I have with me not one, not two, not three, not... well, yes, I actually have four guests, and we're talking about Windows 8. So yesterday, in fact, when we recorded this, we had Sanofsky up on stage at All Things D doing his little dance, which of course wasn't streamed or broadcast anywhere. Who knew? All Things Digital, they didn't know how to do streaming. Anyway, so they did that, and they also threw a few videos up about, well, actually one video about Windows 8 and what it is. And so what we're going to do is just have a bit of a chat about that. But before we get into it, let's actually introduce our guests. So, Scott, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Scott Barnes. I'll just say I run a blog called Reagenic, and I used to be a Microsoftie. I'll leave it at that. If you don't know me, then chances are...
then go listen to some of the other episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Jeremiah?
Hi, I'm Jeremiah from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm just a big old geek with a lot of opinions.
Perfect. Dan?
I'm Dan Delmarski. I'm a Microsoft Student Insider. I write for DZone, and I'm an admin on Dreaming Code.
And finally, Patrick.
Hi, I'm Patrick Klug. I'm working for Novamind Software. We're a mind mapping software application, and I'm a WPF engineer there. And we also develop a Mac application.
All right. So let's start with who wants to go first?
I can start.
All right. Good.
And I'll finish.
Well, what we saw yesterday, I've seen a lot of people complaining pretty much instantly about the idea of how this is completely different, how I'm going to live with my laptop, how I'm going to live with my desktop with this new UI. This is not ready for me. What a lot of people fail to understand, I guess, is the fact that the old core of Windows is still there. The UI, I mean...
So we're talking about the Windows 3 days, right? Windows 3.1, where you booted up DOS and then it kicked into Windows?
Well, not really. We saw in the video how the guys switched between the Metro UI to the old Windows 7-ish.
Well, I think Scott here. I thought I might just interject there. I think the problem is not so much of whether or not people are freaking out about this new thing called Windows 8. And keep in mind, like, this is a classic case of Microsoft showing touch for probably the fifth time again, and we're all kind of getting excited about it. And I remember the Windows 7 touch, you know, and then I'm still looking at my laptop thinking, I haven't got touch. I think the problem with the overall fear, uncertainty, and doom, aka FUD, is that the mention of .NET was never really mentioned. And when he used the word classic, everyone went, hang on, classic.
BB6.
Okay, so when you say classic, what do you mean? I think that's the problem, and I think... what we typically saw was, I think everyone was kind of close to listening for the word for .NET, and it never came. And I think as a result of that, we all kind of got this mentality of, okay, something's going to happen here, and we're paying, I guess, closer attention to the words fork or recompile, or when they throw words like classic out there, you know, it's basically chum in the water. And I think that's what's feeding the frenzy right now. And it doesn't help when the teams aren't coming out, you know, 24 hours later and saying, okay, what he actually said was, you know, there's no clarification, there's no follow-up. So I think people within their rights at the moment to be kind of freaked out, given historical, you know, I guess, trends within Microsoft that I've witnessed both internal and external. It's fair to say that it's potentially not good news for .NET. At the same time, it's not bad news either.
Okay. Yeah, I have to agree with that, Patrick. Yeah, I'm just thinking as a WPF engineer that, you know, when Windows 8 comes as an announcement, then this is the one time that it's about client, about the next version of what people will run on their desktops. And Windows Presentation Foundation has been around for a while, but I would say it hasn't really achieved its high yet, and you know, it still has some momentum. I mean, only .NET 4 resolved some issues that were pretty serious for client applications, such as never mind that we will sell to normal customers, and then to not have any mention of .NET or WPF or Silverlight on that matter. I mean, I guess it just shows us the strategy, and that's a whole different topic. But it generates a little bit of an angst or you know, just fear, because the fact is that Microsoft hasn't really communicated what the strategy is for client development, well, apart from what we've seen today.
Jeremiah?
I was going to say that there's obviously a lot of people with a lot of anxiety out there. Microsoft has not really said anything on what they were going to do as far as an application model whatsoever. And another important thing to remember is that .NET, C++, and now JavaScript are going to be these new models for developing applications. Now, if you remember back to that Swiss keynote where Steve Ballmer came out and he said that, yes, you're going to be able to make these Windows applications with .NET, JavaScript, and C++, a lot of people seem to have forgotten that. But I think another thing is a lot of people aren't really asking the right questions, because this is Windows. Of course your WPF applications are going to run on it. Of course Silverlight's going to run on it, et cetera, et cetera. The question I think developers should be asking is, can I make these new high-performance applications, immersive applications, using my favorite technology? And I don't think that they're asking the correct questions, because Microsoft is just going to come back and respond and say, yes, this is Windows. Your old applications will run in this traditional desktop.
So that's probably an interesting point there. So what we saw with the video in particular around Windows 8, what Sinofsky was talking about was this, you know, the new tiles interface, basically Phone 7 look and feel with the Metro UI and slidey, and everyone's happy. But that was all HTML5 JavaScript. They said, you build these apps HTML5 JavaScript. And immediately all the WPF devs and all the Silverlight devs are going, so if I want my app to run, I have to work in classic Windows, but I can't actually develop anything for the new Windows 8 shell unless I'm doing HTML and JavaScript. So hell?
And I like Paul Stovall's remarks, and it's basically sidebar gadgets on steroids, or something for that, for those lines. And I
yes,
think,
exactly.
And I think we all kind of, I guess, get that. But the word, I guess, classic is the, I guess, the red herring. And I think
I guess it's also the thing is what happens more than that. I mean, it's fine for Microsoft to just show that new interface, and for I think for tablets it's actually quite excellent. I would like that, but what happens more to the client development, because you know, Windows is lacking quite a lot, and I think the most exciting things that I saw is just the App Store, which could change a lot for client software on Windows. But yeah, I guess we just have to wait and see what's there. But if there is no innovation on WPF and on the framework and on the client user experience for classic applications, because classic kind of seems, all right, classic is done. We are not going to improve it or innovate it much more, then I think that would be terrible.
I agree with you, Patrick, there. And another thing that I think people should be asking is, okay, yeah, we can run Silverlight and WPF on Windows 8, and maybe it does integrate in with this immersive UI, but right now people maybe consider Silverlight as these islands of richness in their web page. Maybe they might think now that they have this fast user interface that is ultra-responsive, ultra-high frames per second, what would the advantages to having Silverlight be? I mean, are you going to have islands of slow choppiness? Are you islands of high CPU tax? So it's kind of like, what will the advantages be to running these classic, quotes, air quotes, these classic technologies under Windows 8?
And I agree. It's not just about perf and, I guess, the dissection of the technology itself. It's more along the lines of, I guess, where is this roadmap heading towards? If you're looking at Silverlight from a, you know, from an adoption perspective, it really hasn't had that great of an adoption story. It's had pretty much lackluster numbers, and the ubiquity is obviously dependent on the day, on the stat. But it's definitely one of those things where you look at it from a different angle and say, okay, so is HTML5 going to be the next bet? You know, do we have to down tools on Silverlight now and go over to HTML5? Because it seems like you guys constantly talk about the word HTML5 a lot, and you're not really talking much about Silverlight per se as much as you should or could. Other than these, you know, events like Mix and so forth, which are just basically the reveals. I mean, this is a sustaining, I guess, the message. And I'd just like to add the point that whenever situations like this occurred when we were in the team, in the Silverlight team, we would be the next day, we'd try and get ahead of it as fast as we can. We'd be calling journalists, we'd be calling, you know, bloggers, influentials, and all those kind of things, and try to get ahead of it and reassure the base that nothing's changed. You know, we had a VP showing off on stage, nothing's a problem. The steady course ahead. But we're not seeing that. And that's the part where I kind of look at it and go, okay, my spidey senses start saying, okay, you know, are the team grabbing pine right now?
All right, so I don't think that HTML5 is that big of a, focus. It's more of a just to show just we are keeping with the trends and we are putting HTML5 in the loop, in the Windows loop, and in whatever projects we work on. But I still don't think that HTML5 is going to be the main focus. And I would agree with Scott where he said that what we saw the Matter UI is pretty much the what we had the Vista sidebar on steroids. So if anyone developed widgets for it and knows it, it's HTML and JavaScript based, and it's pretty much the same thing in a different format, in a different box, that's it.
Yeah, but the focus is very much different. I mean, you know, to have a gadget sidebar, to have a full screen kind of start menu on tiles is massively different.
Well, there's a lot more than just a gadget here, right? There's a full application that's HTML and JavaScript. The intent, I assume, then being to link to, what, Azure backend or something like that? You know, that whole connected experience?
That all can be done on widgets anyway.
Yeah, and I also think that in the day that, you know, keep in mind that this is all potentially firing from the IE rendering pipeline as well. So all the things that lead to IE in Windows is the key message there. And to sort of say that HTML5 is not a focus of Microsoft's is not correct. Right now it is the major focus. It's all the metrics of all the staff worldwide are given around basically the word Internet Explorer and, you know, how it ties in. You've got Scott Guthrie moved over to Azure, and I guarantee you there'll be more discussion around HTML5 and ASP and Azure and so forth out of that. Not so much around Silverlight. So I don't know. Like, to me, HTML5 is very, very important to Microsoft right now because the developer base they're not really seeing a new audience. That's just the reality. There's not many net new developers coming forward. There's a lot of what we call the graybeards, you know, retiring, but the replenishment rates aren't there. So this kind of gets you easy wins on the board, if you will.
So from a compete strategy, Google announced their, you know, the Google OS thing not too long ago for basically turn your machine on and you've got the browser there, end of story. And we've seen iOS on the iPad and iPad 2 and blah, blah, blah. That seems to be what Microsoft's trying to compete against. The traditional desktop market's dwindling rapidly. Everyone's buying smaller devices, getting more portable, getting more, you know, involved with their phones and whatever else. Is this just a reaction to that, or there's more to it?
I would say the startups scare the hell out of Microsoft. That's why you get programs like BizSpark and so forth. I mean, these programs are set up to basically try and seed that audience and say, hey, we'll give you our software for free if you try it out and adopt us. That's first point, is they really need to regain the startup, market, because these guys could be the next Facebook and thus the device, you know, the Angry Birds and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
The other point to this is that they really need to sort of they do compete with Apple and Google constantly. I mean, it gets kind of paralyzing sometimes internally when you look at how the company reacts. It sort of gets to the point where you feel like you're watching just Microsoft and Adobe and Microsoft, Apple and Google compete with one another, and that's it. No one really cares. So they do get caught up in the compete. So this is a direct reactive response to Google OS. There's no doubt. That's pretty obvious, given the fact that I guess most of the Microsofties that are pretty influential yesterday kind of work at Google and so forth. So I would say this is very, very compete reactive. But I think it's more to attract a net new audience of developers.
Yeah, it's kind of like what I believe Den was saying. It's keeping up with the trends with HTML5. Microsoft has had a long history of placating developers of all different types of walks of life, different markets, etc. And HTML5 is just happens to be a big one. They're not going to be dumping their huge market base of developers on the .NET end or on the C++ end either.
Yeah, but they're not really embracing them either. I mean, maybe they are. We'll see. You know? But I mean, for us, for example, we are writing, as I said, a mind mapping application, which is inherently very graphic, and there's a lot of visuals and animations, and we had so much trouble to just get it working right on WPF, and it has improved, and
performance problems.
Yeah. I mean. Just all sorts of stuff. I mean, first of all, installation on Windows has been a terrible user experience for years and years. Like with .NET 3.5, we had a 10 megabyte application and then a 250 megabyte framework that you need to pip and things like that. It's just ridiculous. And, the lack of an app store and just a single click installation and update procedure on Windows, I mean, it might not be that much of a problem for a geek, but for the many, many users on Windows, I just can't understand why they didn't focus on that before. Because, that's one of the, as I said before, one of the most exciting things for us is just a new app store, plus hopefully a new installation way of doing things. But then you're still left with the question, okay, how do we migrate to HTML5? Do we actually need to? And it seems that we do in the long term because, it seems that Windows Presentation Foundation is there, but Microsoft doesn't seem to be embracing it. And, of course, the community will move away from that as well.
So, Patrick, I suppose looking at the HTML things and where to move, the Microsoft's talking, Canvas and, IE being hardware accelerated, in fact, more hardware accelerated than Silverlight, no doubt. So the intent would then be you write this JavaScript app that drives the canvas and then does all the painting within that. That's going to represent quite a challenge, obviously.
Oh, yes. I mean, I haven't done much HTML5 plus JavaScript development at all, but, you just have to look at the application. There's a lot of drawing and animations and stuff like that. And I think if Microsoft is focusing so strongly on HTML plus JavaScript, then they have to provide us with tools so that we can migrate from the power of WPF to those platforms, because otherwise, we don't even know yet how that HTML5 plus JavaScript looks like. Will it only work in IE9 with the APIs they provide, or what's the intent there? It's quite difficult to know that.
And how consistent the APIs? So,
I was going to say, I'm a big GPU geek doing Direct3D and recently a lot of Direct2D also. And one of the reasons that I just can't subscribe to the idea that HTML5 is going to be the one only answer is, even in IE 9 or 10, as fast as it is with the jitter and the Direct2D backend, you're still only seeing a small subset of what you can get out of the performance with just using the technologies directly or with a more flexible language such as .NET or C++.
But, in the meanwhile, that's an interesting point, I think, with C++ and HTML5, because which way do you move then, if you really need performance?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess at the end of the day, you have to acknowledge the elephant in the room, and that's JavaScript. I mean, it's a piece of shit. So there's a reason why Silverlight as a plugin and Flash as a plugin exists. There's a reason why lots of companies are adopting Flex and Silverlight and WPF and so on, is they want strong typing. They want that F5 compile, things get checked and so on. The tooling story in JavaScript is fragmented. Development experience overall, a lot of companies, and it comes back to maturity of developer, don't get me wrong, JavaScript in the right hands can be a beautiful thing, but the average developer out there just isn't mature enough to understand the ways to scale JavaScript across large applications. So, you do hit a wall. I mean, the DOM itself was never really geared for this kind of crap. I mean, the other day we've taken the spec and mutated the shit out of it. So, sorry, Trish, I'm swearing a lot. But, But with mutated,
Scott, are you kind of going off of traditional JavaScript, because we really haven't even seen what kind of technology or framework that Microsoft is going to deliver around this HTML5 SDK? Because it could be something totally different that doesn't even rely on the DOM, because now that we have the Canvas, which is just a drawing API, it could also be just a whole abstraction around the Canvas API.
So would you be expecting then that JavaScript will have native hooks into the underlying OS on Win8?
Well, unless Microsoft has got to release it, I don't think there... I mean, there probably will be some sort of like... I don't know, tile screen SDK, but other than that, the actual JavaScript that we use day by day, I don't think there will be any.
Well, there will be some specific forks in the spec to allow people to touch, just like in web iOS with Apple and so forth. You have those, you know, for example, the orientation of the screen. That's a different sort of, I guess, little add-on, I guess. But the point I'm making with the JavaScript, if you throw a framework down the table and say, oh, you know, if you want to do Microsoft development with JavaScript and HTML5, use our framework, you've just pretty much done away with the good deed that you've done and by attracting new developers, because new developers generally don't want to touch the Microsoft stack for that very reason. They want to be more open, a bit more, I guess, hands-on and down to the metal. They don't really necessarily like the pragmatic coding style that Microsoft's positioning. And that's not just from a developer standpoint. That's also from academic, you know, universities and so forth. This is one of the reasons why they don't push .NET as a technology platform to teach on. So, you know, no matter how you look at this, whether you shift the boundaries to the left or right, it's still JavaScript. And I think what needs to occur before it really gets serious is we either need to embrace ECMA 4, which is the spec that got shot down a few years ago by Microsoft and I think Apple and so forth. Basically, it was a Macromedia and Mozilla turkey shoot, so to speak. But that needs to come back to life, and I think JavaScript needs an upgrade as well. I think before we can really take it seriously, HTML5 is fine, bunch of new tags, bunch of GPU capabilities, great. Where's JavaScript going, and where's CSS going? That's the next question.
And you know, since you mentioned this, the question would be, if Microsoft is going to release their own framework for JavaScript and HTML5 to develop for the new OS, why not just use .NET? Why provide their own stack for this sort of thing when you have an existing platform that is well developed and can be easily integrated in the system?
Well, I think it's all about, again, placating developers. I mean, why even have .NET when you have C++ out there? It's a different mindset for different developers.
Yeah, but this is like a 10 steps back. I mean, C++, the reason why .NET existed was to, I guess, look, man, no hands, development. To go JavaScript route, I don't think that's necessarily the same paradigm shift. I don't think that's the same. I think you can compare the two. I think taking .NET out and whacking across the head and saying sit still for a while, and while everyone can sit high on JavaScript, I just don't think it'll work.
Yeah. I mean, it would be a massive challenge, I think, to do a lot of the WPF apps in HTML5 plus JavaScript. But then again, you know, it's not that easy to go to C++ either. I mean, I was quite surprised to hear when Evernote changed their complete product from WPF to C++. And obviously, they had, you know, good reasons to do that. Plus, we still have a lack on Windows of actual WPF apps. So I guess for us, it's really... we just need to wait and see what tools Microsoft will provide, because if you just rely on the JavaScript libraries that are around, there's a lot of fragmentation. I mean, how do you go of implementing such a massive canvas-based thing with just...
Well, one thing for sure is I honestly believe that XAML is part of Microsoft's DNA at this point, and there's really no getting rid of it. And so I can see them coming out with a new framework that did support XAML. But the question is, XAML is just a serialization of an object graph. And so are we going to have a solid migration of our current technologies that use XAML into this new thing?
I think the answer will be, it depends.
What a surprise. So the question then is, all these WPF and everything else apps and even XNA things and are still going to live in that Windows 7 shell? For us to put anything in that new slidey shell, we have to live HTML, right?
Well, let me just clarify, you know, when Windows come, next generation Windows comes out, they have to support a certain pedigree of applications. It's like a 20-year
compatibility thing.
It's also kind of a legal thing, I think, because I think with military contracts and so forth, you have a 20-year agreement. So, you know, that's why XP is, you know, the last rose of death. You really have to support backwards no matter what. How that plays out, whether it's like an emulation mode or... Yeah, that's the yucky part.
Well, that's like, when that brings up the ARM question, right? So on the ARM's CPU, moving the entire Windows 7 OS or that shell into ARM is quite a challenge, I can imagine. But I can't see that working on small tablets, for instance. Do you think they'll split the OS and just do like the Windows 8 shell with the, you know, basically that web OS part of it?
I think the answer to that is the code word is Windows 8.
Yeah, and like now you have the fragmented Windows environment, like you have different versions of Windows, like you have the starter edition that is like the completely, you know, stripped down version of Windows. You'll probably have something like Windows 8 tablet that will be, let's say, that Metro only UI that will only have like a big Windows phone.
Or like the embedded one they use on kiosks, for instance.
That brings up also a good question. I mean, I'm big into conspiracy theories. I wear a tinfoil hat every single day. But could Windows 8 being put into a form factor of the phone, could Windows Phone 8 also be Windows 8 slimmed down, just as, say, Apple has forked their OS X to make iOS?
Definitely.
Yeah, I'd say that's a plausibility. But, you know, at the same time, with the efforts that are put in Windows Phone OS right now to build it on top of the CE core, it just doesn't seem like they will throw it away once again to just put
Windows 8. I don't think a lot of stuff would be thrown away. And to a certain extent, I would actually kind of question how much investment is actually going into currently Windows Phone 7, maybe in preparation for Windows Phone 8. For instance, I'd hate to digress this whole conversation, but the native UI inside of Windows Phone is based off of Iris, the same software UI framework that runs Zune on the desktop, a mobile version. And I can't see Microsoft continuing and having two code bases to display a bunch of tiles and hubs and et cetera, et cetera. Wouldn't it be better, more advantageous for Microsoft to have one single code base?
We already do. It's called WPF and Silverlight. I mean... No, I'm not trying to like shoot that theory down. It's plausible, but having said that, this is a company that's quite patient. Everyone's kind of rushing around saying these guys have to react, otherwise they're going to lose. These guys can afford to lose for the next 2 or 3 years. And no matter, I mean, Steve Ballmer probably can't, but the company can. So, and you know, with WPF is a classic example. It's dead, but they're not going to come out and say officially it's dead because. How do you kill something like that? Because it's such,
I would take a more diplomatic phrase than just dead. I like to say I classify it with WinForms.
No, I can tell you straight up that when we got calls for help in the marketing team to help the WPF message along, we basically said internally it's dead. So it's dead. I just don't know what it's
like. Well, the official statement from Microsoft is it's mature. I don't know if that means that it's in its golden years or if it's going to the retirement community, but mature, I don't know what to make of it.
It's eaten.
Well, unless you know, there are no users using it, it won't be dead in the real world. But the fact is that WPF has never matured to a level that WinForms has, and that's one of the problems. Because, I mean, if we can't move to HTML5 plus JavaScript, and Microsoft does not improve WPF, then basically we're stuck with something that has very real limits that we're already hitting constantly. And the fact is we changed to WPF because that was the only thing on Windows that would provide us with things that, you know, on the Mac have been there forever, like just good typography and a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, TDI Plus didn't even have floating points for glyphs and stuff like that. It's
so,
just...
Patrick, would you end up potentially porting to XNA then?
Well, I can't say because, I mean, that... You know, from the... Oh, am I gone now? No, seems...
There's going to be a pain.
Well, yeah, for sure. But even things like with the Phone 7, the whole Silverlight to XNA.
We definitely have to wait what this whole HTML5 plus JavaScript will be. And I'm just surprised that Microsoft will not say anything about WPF and Silverlight, because obviously there are people using it, and they are the developers who have pledged their career to the platform. It's not like Silverlight is the same, I guess.
And it's important to know that, you know, that's a good point that Patrick brought up, is the weight. I mean, think of this as a plane, you're flying along and then suddenly you get a stall. You know, the first thing you want to do is keep that engine back going and keep going. Right now, they've created another stall, and it's just after coming off the GFC, but everyone's kind of, you know, I've heard developers complaining about, you know, the fixed WPF site, saying, you're killing me, you're hurting my bread and butter by announcing it's dead. So that's why I kind of parked that. But,
oh, absolutely, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and so then when you see the Silverlight's now potentially got this question mark above its head based off, you know, one VP getting on stage showing off, it basically is a stupid thing to do. It really is. It's just one of the most fundamentally stupid things you could do right now with the entire ecosystem. Just come out, clarify a bunch of issues, it'll take you a blog post at most, and then everyone moves on. But the fact there's no answer, that's the concerning point.
But you know,
yeah, because we're small ISV, you know, we spend a lot of time to try to get it work. And the fact is, if we would have to stop WPF at the moment, I'm not sure how we could rewrite the whole thing just so easily. I mean, that's not every company can do that. It's a massive undertaking.
But look at Microsoft itself. One of their flagship products, Visual Studio 2010, was rewritten from scratch using WPF.
I would actually argue that they implemented a shell in Visual Studio. They didn't rewrite it from scratch. There's so much Win32 I still left in there. Right. It's not silly.
But they still rely on WPF.
Well, but the fact is, you build up 5 years of knowledge and know-how that are worthless if you change to something like HTML plus JavaScript. I mean, it takes the team... It takes you quite a while to get to a professional level on any new language and platform.
And just because the company internally adopts something doesn't mean externally they're going to support it. This just clarify, you know, because internally they built basically the UI framework, I guess the UI mechanics behind Zune and MediaCenter. You guys didn't see that, so you didn't see the leftovers of that. So just because they do something internally doesn't necessarily mean... And I guess the other point to make is if you had to watch the bug queue climb during the Visual Studio development cycle, I can tell you that they didn't do it willingly and they didn't do it happily. So to do that or continue that story, it's going to be a very interesting outcome for Visual Studio 2012 and so on.
All right, guys, I think we are getting close to time, so we'll have to wrap it up because... And you know, we just keep going until build conference starts and just keep talking.
One remark at the end.
Yeah, one remark. Come on.
We'll make
one each.
Yeah, speaking of build.
Okay.
So.
No, we won't have the Visual Basic 6 runtime anymore. You know, the Microsoft finally, they announced it a while ago that Windows 7 was the last one to support it. So bye bye, VB6.
Open source that thing.
A thousand.
Oh my gosh. Don't even.
All right, Jeremiah, any closing thoughts?
Not too many. It was thank you very much for having me.
Pleasure. Anyone else, Patrick, Scott?
I guess my closing thoughts are simple, is that I think putting a VP on stage and just announcing the way they did was reckless and immature. I think if they're going to do the Apple Steve Jobs reveal, the difference between Microsoft and Apple is when Steve Jobs does his reveal, He has basically a bunch of marketing teams hitting the go button. Whereas yesterday, I think Microsoft went in unprepared, announced a bunch of stuff showing off, and they really haven't backfilled the support they need. And I've got Frank Shaw following me on Twitter from VP of Corporate Communications at Microsoft, so I'm wondering. And he just started following me yesterday, so I'm wondering what's going on.
Okay, nervous.
So
it's been nice knowing you, Scott.
Actually, because... you know, I think as a developer, it's both daunting and exciting to see Windows 8 in such a way. But I just wish Microsoft would communicate better what they do with the developers that are already banking their career and everything on Windows.
And it's to do with
culture. We develop on Mac as well, so, you know, it's sort of an alternative.
Quickly, it has to do with the culture. I mean, when a VP gets on stage, you're going, "Yay, you did such a great job," and internally we're going, "You're an idiot. You know, you need to get off the stage." But you don't necessarily say that because, you know, you don't get an executive, especially a senior one at that, and say, hey, you know what you just did? You just shot me in the foot. You know, the Silverlight marketing team and, you know, whatever's left to do, there's no WPF marketing team and so on. Those guys should have been prepped and ready, but I'm guessing they're grabbing pine right now, so for a reason. So.
Very good. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show and having a chat. It was excellent. And enjoy watching whatever announcements come out of Microsoft next.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. And until then, happy coding. See you later.
Visit talkingshopdownunder.com for previous shows or to subscribe to the feed. Your feedback is always very much appreciated, so get in touch and let us know what you're thinking. Reviews can be left on iTunes or the Zoom Marketplace. Email can be sent to mail@talkingshopdownunder.com and tweets to @talking_shop. That's it for now. Show's over. Go home, people. Go home.